Matthew 28, if you will, please, in your Bible, Matthew 28. We're going to continue this morning walking through, we're calling it our purpose statement, if you will, and we're moving on to our second one right over here, share the gospel. And I'm so glad that we're a church that truly strives to share the gospel. I hope that you are. But Matthew 28, I'm sure you know it. I hope you do. And verse 18, if you would jump down all the way towards the end of the chapter, verse 18, notice what it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, you know, this is before Jesus ascends up, and these are his parting words to all of us. What's he say? All power is given unto me. You need to underline that word all. Jesus never does anything half full, does he? It's all power. He's got all power. It's given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. If you have all power, if you're commissioned by the person, and I shouldn't say person, by our Savior, you can go forward. Now notice, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is truly what we call the Great Commission, isn't it? We're commissioned to do that. Throughout the centuries past, we know that many men and women have strived or gone after this Great Commission to try and fulfill it. Now, we understand that we may not reach everybody. You and I must come to the tragic conclusion that we're probably not going to reach all of our family members. We're not going to reach every friend, are we? We're not going to reach every coworker, but that not ought to deter us from keeping on, keeping on. And I believe a healthy church keeps what we call the main thing, and that's the gospel. When every time you take a church and they start to deviate from the gospel and get sidetracked with other stuff, what happens? They start to go down. And the thing that the adversary will do, he'll start to grow that church. He'll start to bring in a bunch of people. He'll make that pastor, that leader, very well known and popular. And I'm not saying always, but I'm saying that when you deviate from the gospel, he'll put things in the place to make it look like success, doesn't he? So, oh, they're successful. No, friends, we come back to the gospel. I think about this so often, and I think about how much of a failure that I am, oh, so often, and reaching people with the gospel. Now, we're going to look at our second purpose statement, if you will, or our bullet point under what we call our purpose statement. That's share the gospel. Now, again, the last few weeks, we covered exalting the Savior. Without exalting Him, we're not going to do anything else, are we? He's got to be preeminent in everything that we do. Now, what we see then is that He gives us, first and foremost, His great commission. Now, His last words, you know this, should be our first priority. The last thing He says, if some of you had a loved one that's passed on, and I don't know if you got around their bedside right before they passed, maybe they made some statement. I saw a thing the other day. It gave a list. It was kind of morbid, but gave a list of the last things that were said of famous celebrities before they died. And it's weird. Some of them said some weird stuff, you know. But you think about the last thing, and they were to tell you, hey, go and do this or that. You would say, well, I'll try to make that a priority. Jesus says, before I ascend up on high, I want you to go forward and do what I've commanded you to do. Now, let's look at a few things this morning. And we're going to see, first of all, the power. We're then going to see the great presence of God in enabling us to do this. And we're going to see then the priority with which we've been given. Now, think about this. Number one, the power. He says, all power is given unto me. All power. I need not remind you, but I will remind you anyways, that we serve the God. Not a God. The world pushes a God. The world pushes multiple gods. Monotheistic we are. You think about the world pushes a pantheistic. It pushes all kinds of, you can choose anything. As we've been studying, we looked at on Wednesday, just very briefly touched on the Tower of Babel. If you are reading through your Bible right now, you've gotten through that. Genesis 11, the great Tower of Babel. A bunch of people got together, didn't they? Under the leadership of an individual who is a type of the Antichrist. And that person got everybody together and said, let's build us a tower. Now, the first thing people think is, let's build us a tower to reach up to heaven to see God and get closer to God. Wrong. They built a tower, what? Out of rebellion. And if you know anything about it, you know that they built a tower, and many artifacts and archaeological finds show that they put a temple on top of that. They tried to get as close as they could to God to literally spit in His face and say, this is where we're going to worship our pagan God. Doesn't that sound like America today? And that's what they did. Now think about this. God came down, and what did He do? He simply spoke. Now you know this, the word universe. The word uni or prefix uni, U-N-I, means one or single. Verse means spoken sentence. What's the universe? Single spoken sentence. That's all he had to do to create everything. He didn't have to whip up something and do all these concoctions and all this stuff and mumbo jumbo. He simply said, sun, moon, stars. Can you imagine? In Genesis, it says he created all these things, and it has this little side note. It says, and he created the stars also. I love that. Some say there are trillions of stars, and he just said, oh yeah, let's throw some stars up there. That's the God we serve. Again, we don't serve a God. We serve the God. And he says, all power is given unto me. Therefore, you can go. And how many times, if you're like me, I cower and get scared and fearful. Well, they won't listen. They won't hear. What if, friends, think about this. You can go forward in the power. What if they ask me a hard question? I get that all the time. I had a fellow one time, and I said, hey, can I have the gospel track. And I said, hey, can I invite you to church? He says, I don't want none of that spiritual stuff. I don't want none of that religious literature, he called it. I said, okay, you don't want a free gift. He said, free gift? I said, yeah. He said, what is it? I said, well, it's the gospel of Jesus. He said, oh, come on. We don't have to be shy, scared, timid about it. How often do we stand up? I said this before. It was years ago when our oldest daughter was very little. She was about 2 years old, and I sat there watching a stinking basketball game. And I don't know why I love watching basketball. I can't figure it out for the life of me. But watching basketball, and I pounded on that desk. I said, come on. The guy missed a shot. And I heard some rumble, grumble in the back. And I walked back there, and she's back in her bedroom going, come on, come on, come on. I said, now, honey, don't show mama that, okay? No, be quiet. Isn't that true? They copy what they see. And Jesus said, listen now, I want you to go forward. I've taught you everything. I've given you everything that you need to know. Now, notice this. Under the power, the apostles didn't say, Lord, what things? I'll teach you everything I've taught you. What things? No, they knew. I love our Bible because the Bible we have and hold in our hands, we've studied this over the last couple of months. The Bible you hold in your hands is not a book. It is the book. Amen. If you study this book, mine's a little dusty. You study this book, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. People say there's errors and mistakes and all kinds of problems. You haven't read your Bible. One fellow said, oh, there's all these mistakes in here. I said, show me. I had a little pocket Bible. I said, show me. Whoa, I can't do with that right now. I don't have time right now. You know why? Because they don't know the errors. They don't know the mistakes in the Bible. There are none. You got to study it for yourself. Study the archaeological finds just within the last 25 years. Everything they're finding right now to a T lines up with this book. Now I'm saying, we must understand what Jesus taught us and gave to the apostles. Those apostles took that as God's very words, and they wrote what we have today, and they passed it on to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says this to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Isn't that true? Do you see that progression? The things I've taught you, Timothy, take it and teach others also. And tell those faithful men then to pass it on to the people behind them. But you cannot take something that's not reliable and pass it on to other people. Why? Because they'll soon find out that it's a fake and a fraud. That's one of the evidences or proofs that we have a Bible we can trust. Amen? It's because of that. It stood the test of time. And your great-great-great-great-granddaddy, somewhere out on the field, he was sowing his field one day, and praise God for somebody that came by and gave the gospel to him. Praise God for that passing on and on and on. Notice the power with which he possesses. He says all power. We looked at a few weeks ago that in Colossians chapter number 1, that Jesus created all things. Now, how do we explain that? I don't know. You think about it, he says, I was in the beginning, and I created all things. Paul emphasizes that because of his power, and because of his prestige, and because of all that he is, we give him the preeminence. Now think about this. We have him today. I hope you've been praying for the presence of the Lord within your own home and within this local church. You ought to be praying for that. It's funny to me how many people will watch movies and other things about this kind of stuff, about demonic presence and ghosts and all this, and they believe in that, but they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, no, I won't say, the Lord said, don't say that. Okay. Isn't it true? By the way, don't let your kids be watching junk like that. If you're a child of God, you should not be watching horror movies. I don't need to say that, but I'll say it anyway. You don't need to let your 4, 5, 6-year-old kid watch Megan or whatever that is, those robotical demonic things. Why? Because you don't know that they're, number one, probably not saved yet. You're allowing demonic things into your home. And I think about that often. Demonic presence in our homes. Now think about this. Matthew, the power. Secondly, let me keep going before I run out of time here. He says, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Because of the power. Notice this. Teach all nations. Teach all nations. There's our word again. A-L-L. All nations. You look at this and study world church history in general, and you find that these apostles go out across the world, don't they? Now, we studied this, but in Acts chapter 1, he gives this great commission, and they stay around Jerusalem. They don't disperse, okay? We come to Acts 8, and because of persecution within the church, they have to spread out. That's what God often does, because of persecution. You ought to be thankful you're a part of a church that is emphasizing the gospel. And again, you may not be good at sharing the gospel, but you ought to be a part of a church that emphasizes the gospel and pushes you to share the gospel in whatever way. Now think about it. They go spread out all over the world. Thomas goes over to India. A couple of them go down to Africa. Some of them go up into what's called Southern Europe, Asia Minor, all over the world. They go out and they preach the gospel and they baptize. The second thing, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now in the old days, they used to take... And when they baptize people, they baptize them once in the Son, up in the Father, up in the Son, up, and in the Spirit. You'd go under three times. And I read a story of an old Southern gal, and they were baptizing her. Went under. She came up. She said, hallelujah. Went back under. Came up again. Glory to God. The third time she came up, didn't know what to say. She said, Merry Christmas. Went back. I couldn't imagine that. Now here we don't do. We go under once. Amen. And bring you back up. Brother Steve. He's out of town this morning, but when I baptized him two or three weeks ago, and I said, now, Brother Steve, you got to lay all the way back. He said, okay. And he went back, and his front of his face wouldn't go under. I said, sorry, I had to do that, brother. He said, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. You know, you want the face to go to heaven. Amen. Okay. Sanctified as well. We don't believe in that. Okay. Baptism is not salvation. We'll get into that later. Okay, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 8. Okay, now let's look at an example here that I think will really help us. Acts chapter 8, because I want you to see this. Acts chapter number 8, if you will, go to verse 26. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He says, notice, arise, go toward the south, on the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, that's Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And I love this verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him God. Does it say God? Oh, I'm sorry. It says Jesus. Amen? Jesus. He preached Jesus. Now think about this. Just an example for us today about an individual who took the gospel seriously. Number one, notice this. Back in verse 26, he says, arise, go toward the south. Can I say something really quick? That when God speaks to your heart, there's a lot of people that say, well, until God gives me full details, then I'll follow. It ain't going to happen, honey. It's not going to happen. You follow. If you feel like God's putting you or leading you in a certain direction, take one step of faith. God will bake up the rest. You can trust Him. But a lot of people want all these details. Well, the Lord better show us all these details first, and then I'll... No. He said to Philip, why don't you just go down south? Well, where to, Lord? I'll just start heading that way. I'll show you what to do. Go that way. I'll tell you where to go. You and I need to take steps of faith forward. If God is laying on your heart to give, to help, to do, I don't know what it is, go ahead and do it. Walk forward by faith and say, Lord, here's my step of faith. My step of faith is to email that person. My step of faith is to call. My step of faith is to give. Now, Lord, you fill in the gap. You fill in the rest. The story of Abraham. Abraham comes home one day and he tells his wife, this is not scripture, I'm just adding lib here, but he tells his wife, says, honey, the Lord spoke to me. It says we need to go. She said, okay, well, where? Did you get a new job? No. I actually quit my job today. And he told me that we need to sell most of our stuff and then go. Okay, do we have a house waiting for us? No. Well, what do you mean go? He said, just go. Can you imagine that conversation? And they went, and he just stepped out by faith and they went. And wherever they were going, they weren't sure at front. And the book of Hebrews 11 says this, what he went out by faith, not knowing. But what? He trusted his God. He trusted him. What's God leading you to do? Now, Philip says, okay, Lord, I'll go. He arose, verse 27, and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia. Now, think about this for a minute. We don't have this much today of a prejudice, but we are all naturally have a little bit of a prejudice within us. And I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about that we see people and go, oh, they wouldn't accept the gospel. You ever like that? I one time this happened to me, and I'll never forget it. I was walking down the road. We were actually out passing out, inviting people to church. And I saw this fellow that was clean cut, real, you know, clean, nice clothes on, everything. He was out in his yard. And I said, that guy probably wants to hear the gospel. And I went over to him. And he was the rudest guy I'd ever met in my life. You know, no, get out of here. Get away. Get off my property. You know, I thought, geesh, okay. I saw this kid walking, gothic kid, all black, face painted. I said, there's no way, right? No way. And the Lord said, really? I said, okay. And I walked over and said, how you doing? You know, he was so open. He said, yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about that. You know what? I've been thinking about that. I've been wondering about death. I've been wondering about where and what happens after death, right? If we're not careful, if you're like me, we can have that. And I'm so glad that he didn't walk up and say, oh Lord, this guy, no way. There's no way. He won't hear. He won't listen. He's of great authority. He's not the right person. He's maybe not the right background and other things of that nature. He says, no. Verse 28, he was reading. Now, apparently, I don't know if Philip could see, but he walked up and saw him reading. And I like this. He had religion, but no relationship. Isn't that what it is, though? People preach religion. Religion, religion, religion. Listen, you can be the most religious person in the world and still die and go to hell. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is all about your walk with Him and saying, I understand Him. Listen, it says that people know Jesus, but you better know the right Jesus. In verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself. Philip ran thither. I like that. If he told me that, I'd be kind of dragging my feet, you know. Making some noise. We go out sometimes, and again, like I say, pass out gospel tracts, and there's a gate that's closed. And if it says no trespassing, I try to be careful and not trespass. But if the gate's unlocked, I always jiggle the gate. Because I want to see that big pit bull come around, you know, before I enter in. All right, okay. Here you go. Just leave that right there. Sometimes it's dragging your feet, but notice he ran hither. I love that. And said what? He heard him read. Now apparently he's reading out loud. And he's going, what in the world? I don't understand what he's saying. I don't, he may be grumbling a little bit. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 30. Do you understand? And one of the saddest statements in the Bible, I really believe it. How can I accept some man should guide me? Do you know there's people today just looking for somebody to help them, to guide them, to show them which way to go and how to read, what to do, what does it mean, right? What does it mean? How can I? I don't understand, except some man should guide me. And Philip said, well, a matter of fact, I could probably help you. Would you come up here? Would you sit with me? Let me tell you, it takes time to reach people. It's not going to be overnight. There's times when we can share the gospel and reach them rather quickly, but it usually takes a lot of time, a lot of time. I heard the story of a fellow that prayed for his friend to get saved for 40 years. He kept praying for his friend to get saved, and his friend never got saved. And that man died, the one that was the spiritual man that was praying for his friend. And at the funeral, the man he was praying for actually came and got saved. I hope that doesn't happen to us, but you think about it, you don't quit. It may take time. He said, I'll come up and just sit a while. Philip said, I'm a little busy. I got to keep going. No, I've got time for this. I've got time for this. And we're busy about a lot of things. Trust me, I'm too busy often with other things. I hardly can take time sometimes to be and do what I'm supposed to be doing with the gospel and with the word of God. And I know that. But I say that if we take time and make it a priority, God will give us opportunity. Lord, give me opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, I don't know what to say, but I know how to point them in the right direction. I've said before, it's just one beggar telling another where he found bread. That's all it is, isn't it? I don't know. What if they ask me all these hard questions? you just tell them, listen, I can't answer that, but I know somebody that can. Why don't you come to church? I don't know what to say, but I know what he did in my life. Paul, for the rest of his life, that's exactly what he did. Paul didn't stand up and preach these great, eloquent, deep theological messages, although later he would write letters to these churches that we thank God for. But he didn't stand and preach these great theological messages. What did he preach? He said, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. One day I was traveling on the road to Damascus, and I was about to go murder more people. I had a bunch of guys with me that were nasty, murderous barbarians that I used as thugs to go kill little people, innocent children, innocent wives. He knew that. And he said, a bright light shone down from heaven. Praise God. Who art thou, Lord? And then he says, what would you have me to do? Verse 32, the place of the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb dumb before a shear, so open he not his mouth. Now think about it. The eunuch says, who's he saying this? Is the prophet Isaiah talking about himself or somebody else? Do you see he had just enough understanding? The prophet or the eunuch said, I kind of understand this, but I need some direction. I need some help. And Philip says, he's talking about Jesus. You heard of Jesus? He said, oh yes, I've heard. That fellow they crucified just a while back, right? He said, yeah. He preached unto him Jesus. I love that. This name Jesus is a very, very important name. Now we know they did not call him J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, but we understand his name, Yeshua. He preached unto him that name. This name is an important name. This name is a powerful name. The Bible goes so far to say, Paul would later say, that at the name of Jesus, not the name of God, not the name of the Son, not the name of anything else, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And I hope you're ready for that day. We got a lot of people that run their mouths. I heard one celebrity just last week, and he said this and that, and he said, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? He said, no. He says, I use Jesus Christ as a filler word, right? I damn the name of God on purpose. One of the wealthiest men to ever live today, he was asked in an interview, do you pray? You pray to, not to God, to anything. Do you pray to anything? He says, no, I don't pray to anything. I don't believe in God. Yet he's trying to shoot a rocket up into the sky to figure out what's up there, isn't he? I wonder why. He'll bow. Those filthy lips that curse the name of Jesus, he'll bow. He'll speak. He'll speak the name of Jesus. I'm telling you today, it's time for us as Christians to stop cowering in the corner and getting sidetracked by things that don't matter, by unwavering things that try to push us away, by entertainment that's not even healthy for our eyes and our heart. Listen, I'm preaching to myself here. We need to get back on track and say, God, help me to do what you've called me to do, to get back to the gospel, because that's all that matters in the end of all things. Or mama, don't matter how much money you made. Daddy, don't care how successful you are. They want to see you standing there with Jesus one day. Amen. And not say, depart from me, I never knew you. What a sad day that would be. What a sad day. Thank God Philip got up and said, I'll go ahead and get in there and do what I can do. I'm not all that eloquent. I don't know all the Bible, but I know this much, that he saved me from what I was. And Paul said, for the rest of my life, I don't know a lot. I'm not real smart. I don't have everything in order, but I know this, that Jesus saved me. Amen. And I'll tell you what he's done for me. That's all it is. And we say, God, help me to share the gospel, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. I want to see those loved ones and people around me. And listen, they won't always listen, but we'll do our dead level best. We'll stand at the judgment with no excuse. You never told me. We'll say, yes, we did. You never told me. Yes, we did. Let's continue. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Where did he get that from? Philip said, if thou believest. I love that. See, it's not baptism. It's not the water that saves you. Again, I'd be careful about this, but a famous person recently got baptized. And he did an interview, and he said, when I got baptized, I came up out of the water, and I just felt fresh and new, and all my sins were washed away. You don't know the Bible. I get real scared about these celebrities. There's a celebrity that came out about 10, 15 years ago. He's a guitarist in a very famous rock band, satanic band, by the way. And he supposedly got saved. And yet he's still living the same lifestyle. I have a problem with that. He's in a band that sings about their worship of Satan. I have a problem with that. I'm saved. He wrote a book, and he wrote in the book, and I had a friend. He said, did you read the book? Because we were both big fans of this rock band. I loved listening to this band. And Korn, you heard of Korn? We used to really like listening to it. And he said, did you read the book that he wrote? He got saved, man. Isn't that cool? He uses the F word probably 400 times in that book. I mean, I have a problem that you're not changed, right? Why? Because the Bible says we're changed by that. I'm saved. Okay, there needs to be some sanctification. That's the natural progression, that there's a change in your life. There's something different. Now notice what he says. Here's what doth hinder me to be baptized. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, you sure you know, you understand? He said, oh yes, I believe, notice this, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's no works. There's no church attendance. There's no church membership. Now you got to be a part of a local church. You got to join a local church. You got to be here every Sunday. You got to be here every time the doors are open of the church. Amen. Make it a priority. But listen, there's none of that. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom or thy paradise. Jesus said, well, hang on, we need to get down and get baptized first. Hang on, you need to, have you joined the local church, Jerusalem Baptist Church yet? No, I haven't. No, what's he say? Today. Now notice verse 38, let's wrap it up. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That word baptized means to submerge. Means to dip or to plunge. Again, we emphasize this here. People get mad at me for saying this, but I emphasize it because the Bible's true. If you got sprinkled as a baby, you need to get rebaptized. If you got sprinkled by a Lutheran minister or a Catholic minister, and you say that that's not baptism, okay? You need to get plunged. You need to go under. That's the biblical pattern given to us. Okay, anyways. They were come up out of the water, verse 39. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Do you ever just wish you could be caught up away? Oh, just take me away. Take me somewhere else. The eunuch saw him no more. And he went, notice, on his way, rejoicing. Where did that eunuch go? He went back home to Ethiopia. There is a church still in Ethiopia today. Now, there's many religions or denominations in every part of the world, and especially in Africa. But there is a church today in Ethiopia that can trace, they say, can trace their lineage all the way back to this man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? He went back home and told his mom, his dad, his brother, sister. He probably told the queen, who he worked under. I don't know. I don't know what he told, who he told, what he said, but he said, let me tell you a story. I was reading and this happened. A man showed me. He showed me the way. He showed me the direction. I say this again, but it'll be surprising in heaven when we get there and we find out that we actually led somebody to the Lord. Maybe not directly, but they watched us or listened to us. I don't know what it is, but we were emphasizing the gospel. It's important to us. It's important to me. And you'll be in heaven one day and you'll have people come and stand in line. Do you remember me? No. I'm so-and-so. You taught a Sunday school class. I only came one time with my friend, but you told me about how to get saved on that Sunday. I got saved. Do you remember me? No. I used to live next door to you. You didn't ever meet me. We only lived there for a brief time and then we had to move, but I would watch you every Sunday morning get in your car with your family and go somewhere, and you were always dressed real nice. And I later found out it was church. Something about that got my attention. And later on, I wanted to do the same thing because my family was messed up. And I saw how you were put together and I realized it was the Lord. There's stories like that, right? Isn't that amazing? And you never know. When the Lord leads you and calls you, directs you, you follow that friend. I don't know what to do, but I know who to take him to. We got to share the gospel. I want to encourage you this week. Pray about that. There may be some people in your life, family, friends, others, that you say, I can't reach them. They won't listen to me. I don't know what to do. You keep praying for them. I'm telling you, when you get into earnest prayer, God will hear. God will listen. God wants to hear your prayers. Again, I was up about 3 o'clock this morning praying because, of course, it's Saturday night and I can't sleep, but praying, but pray and pray and pray. And Lord, do you ever feel redundant? Like, oh, what am I praying? It's not even going to work. And the sad thing is that we think about the gospel is an optional thing, and it's not. Jesus gave us a commission. It's a command. It's not optional. It's a command. We have to be sharing the gospel. Now, you may be able to share it, you know, in detail or verbatim, but you can point them in the right direction. You can point them in the right way. That's what we should be doing. It's sad to say that it's hard to even just get up and read our Bibles. Sad to say the average Christian hasn't even prayed this past week. Sad to say that we haven't prayed together as a couple in a while. And you think your kids are going to get up and pray and find a good spouse that loves the Lord? It's sad to say that we find it hard just to mention the name of Jesus without using it as a cuss word. None of us do, but the world. It's sad to say that the churches today, it's hard for them to even figure out what to do, how to pay the bills, how to get people in church. And yet it's easy to fill up a 60,000 person stadium, seat stadium, isn't it? People today have already bought their tickets. I read this. Already bought their tickets for the Super Bowl. Could you imagine that? They already have them reserved. They don't care what team's in the Super Bowl. They just want to be in the Super Bowl. Friends, today I think it's time for us to get busy about the things of God. I got news last evening, that a friend of ours died in a car accident. Young person. Isn't it tragic? You think, why? Why? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day. And if you were to stand before Jesus Christ tomorrow or even this evening, would you be where you're supposed to be? Now I'm preaching to myself, and I'm not. I want to get better. I want to be better. I want to do more for Him. And one of the things is that will please Jesus Christ the most is that we reach people with the wonderful story, the wonderful facts, the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'll stop there. But I want to encourage you with that this week. You really pray for those. Get a list. Make a list out of people that you would like to see come to church, that you would like to share the gospel with. If you're good at sharing the gospel, if you're bold in your faith, make a list of people you're going to really get together with. I'm going to have lunch with them. I'm going to email them. I'm going to call them. And just sit down with them. Don't shove it down their throat. Just have lunch. Chit-chat. Ask them how their life is going. Tell them about the Lord. How He's changed your life. Listen, they won't get excited about the Lord if you're not, right? You got to get excited about the things of God. Amen. Amen. I thank God for all of you and your faithfulness here and making church a priority today. God will bless you for that. Remember that. Take time this week. I say it often, to be in your Bible. Set aside the things that are distracting. Get in your Bible. We have Bible reading schedules out there. If you need one, make sure you get in your prayer closet. You say, Brother Tim, you always say that. Yeah, but you're not doing it. Get into it. Do it. It'll help you. It'll help you. Some of you young people are still trying to make some decisions right now. Where to go to school. What to do next. Who to date or get married to. I want to encourage you. You take time. If mom and dad don't do it, that's fine. You do it yourself. You take time in prayer, right? All of the adults in here should be nodding your head. Yes. Pray. You don't want them to make detours that you had to take. Pray for God's will in your life. Lord, I don't know where to go. Take a step of faith in the direction you think He's leading you. Amen? And He'll show you. He'll show you. And we can stay faithful to God, and I encourage you to do that. Lord, we thank You for this morning. I praise You for the faithfulness of our people. I pray You'd help us, Lord. As I think about this, it's easy to, Lord, imagine people or even hope that people would get saved. But Lord, the reality is that we've got to do our part and put forth an effort. Some of us may not be very good at that, maybe more introverted. But Lord, we can give them a gospel track. We can maybe invite them to church simply. I don't know what it would be, but You'd help us, Lord. This is not an optional thing. This is really a command from You. And Lord, we pray You'd strengthen us, Lord, as we look forward to that great day, I believe very soon when we'll be with You for all of eternity. You'd strengthen us, Lord, to bring as many as we can with us. We love and thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name.